We left off 2 weeks ago as we were looking at Daniel. I think we left off with the third beast. I don't think we got through all four beasts. And the fourth beast, it begins in verse 7. It says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So he doesn't necessarily describe to us any one characteristic about this beast, like the others were a bear or a lion or a leopard. Interestingly, when you come to Revelation, he describes it in chapter 3, this beast that arises looks like a lion and a leopard and a bear. And so it has characteristics from all the three. It's kind of a fascinating aspect here. What we find from this is that he was very strong, that he is dreadful and terrible. It means he causes great dread, and he's able to conquer. He's able to stomp and to devour. And so there's great power, great ability is being granted to him. And so this is destructive power being granted. It's interesting, it mentions that he has iron teeth. This connects this fourth beast with the legs of iron and the feet that were iron and clay. And so each one of these kind of has some one connection, one way along the way that helps to connect chapter 2 with chapter 7. All right, and then verse 8. It says, "And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three by the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." So as you're looking at this beast, it has 10 horns on its head, and then another small horn comes up, and it plucks out and replaces three other horns. Now, sometimes people want to try to look at this and say, oh, 10 horns, and we know that this was 10 kings, as you apply it to chapter 2. And so they look for some sort of succession of king after king after king after king that rose up. But it's pretty clear from this, if one horn rises up afterwards, and then he throws out three, all of them are reigning at the same time. And so all 10, there's an aspect of confederation of some kind of rulership of 10 different kings ruling. And this Antichrist that's going to come up is going to cast out three of them and take over on the chart. Now, we don't know exactly the details of that. When it actually happens, it'll make perfect sense. But three will be removed so that he can come, and he becomes even more dreadful than all the others. And it says that we know very clearly this is talking about a man, because he says, in the horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. And so focus on the fact the eyes indicate this is a person, the mouth indicates it's a person, but it ends with this aspect of his big mouth. Okay, so this is the picture of the Antichrist. He's a big talker. And he is a liar. He's a deceiver. But those are things along that line. But it's not just that. He's a blasphemer. And the Antichrist is going to say things against Almighty God. He is going to claim privileges and rights that only belong to God. And it's going to be blasphemy. And so that's where it focuses. And that's where it ends. And there's an aspect which you can kind of, it comes back in verse 11. So after there's a poem in verses 9 through 10. All of this is poetry, but verses 9 and 10 are very dense poetry, meaning difference between poetry and prose a lot of times can be structure. And a lot of times the most difficult poems are the most, they provide you just a few little words, and you're supposed to get a lot of meaning out of those few little words, and they're just kind of impressionistic type things. Well, this is kind of the way it is. It's been very structured, but there's been a lot of words up to this point. And when you get to this part, it's like, I beheld thrones, you know, thrones set down, Ancient of Days did sit. You know, it's just a couple words in each little line, and it's very, very poetical in verses 9 through 10. So he's describing something very majestic in verses 9 and 10. But what you ought, I'm trying to highlight here is in verse 8, it ends with his mouth. In verse 11, it picks up with this, and he says, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. You know, it picks up again with his mouth. So all this is happening in my little mind's eye. We're seeing these beasts pop up one after another, and here's the little guy, and he's talking like this and blah blah blah, and he may be looking this way, and it's like what's taking place in verses 9 and 10 is all happening behind him while he's blaspheming. And this massive throne sits down, and it's on fire. We're going to look at him. This huge God is right behind him, and he's still going blah 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 blah. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, oh boy, there's an irony here. He doesn't realize what's going to happen. And there's an aspect to which this throne is real. This throne is real right now. And though we can't see it, all that's happening in this world is happening before this throne. Just like this Antichrist. The riots are happening before the throne of God. The murder, the homosexuality and the sexual perversions of every kind. It's happening before this throne. God sees it. Darkness is as light to him. Nothing is hidden in his eyes. Our sin, the secrets of our thoughts, the thought before this throne. And this really is the centerpiece of Daniel. This revelation of God. This is the high point of theology here. Let's read verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. It's not one throne, it's many. Why? Because God, in his sovereignty, doesn't rule alone. He shares with us. He makes us to be kings and priests with him. We come to Revelation, it's not one throne, it's many thrones, it's the Lamb that's sitting in the throne with him in that aspect, but there are the thrones around him, the 24 elders who sit with him. And then he talks about the great innumerable host that rule with him forever and ever as kings. They reign with him. It's an amazing reality. The rule and reign of God that he is administering, his perfection, his blessing, he wants you a part of it. He wants you engaged in what he is trying to do. You and I have the privilege and the ability, the right, to receive spiritual blessings in the spiritual world and have those things come down upon our lives. You and I are not powerless. God has given us the position of Jesus Christ when he united us with him. It's an amazing reality. And this is part of this pictured in this aspect of throne. We're going to see that the saints are the ones who are going to have the kingdom. All right, so the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. This aspect of Ancient of Days is pointing to the eternality of God. He's the one who always was, always will be, the ever right now, the I am, eternally present. And so it's beyond our comprehension, this aspect. The aspect here that it points to, whose garments are white as snow and the hair of his head like the pure wool. This is pointing to the purity of his righteousness. That's always indicated in his presence, that the whiteness there. But the aspect of having a white head was a sign of great respect. It was something, if someone had gray hair and white hair, that meant in that culture, because of God's word, and they said, rise up before someone who has called the hoary head. It means they've got hair that's of white hair. That means you have a position of respect and honor just because of your age and your wisdom and what you've seen. Now, we live in a culture in America that multi-million dollar industry to help people not have gray hair. We don't have the right perspective on what God looks at in terms of our culture values youth. We prioritize being able to be in the know and technology and being on the cutting edge. God values, he respects the wisdom of age. And that's why I'm putting in gray hair blushing. No. So there's this aspect, he having a white head, and our culture will be like, oh, that's sin. No, in that culture, that was a sign of great esteem and honor. He was with full white hair. Very fascinating. Then we see something that might startle us a little bit. It says, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. There here are this aspect of wheels connected with the throne of God. Kind of goes back to Ezekiel and those aspects there. But oftentimes, a king would come. He would ride in on his chariot. He would conquer. And then from his chariot, he would enact his judicial decrees, and he would actually administer justice on the battlefield from his chariot. It would be his throne. And so there's an aspect of this seems to be the picture that's going on, that God's throne is like a conquering chariot. And this the wheel going on here, and it's a chariot, it's a throne that is engulfed in fire. That picture is startling. To think, we know, I guess we should say, what does that mean? You know, what is that fire? We know the Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire. Anything that's wickedness, he will destroy. This is a symbol of his absolute purity and the judgment that he will bring before this throne. In fact, we're going to find out that there's a giant, let's read verse 10, and there's a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. So you've got a molten lava flow proceeding forth from this throne. We're talking about God's judgment is coming to pass on anything that's wickedness. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And he's going to execute his judgment. He's ready to do this. And it says, and thousands upon and thousands ministered to him, and tens of thousands, times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. The picture here is of multiplication. Thousands upon thousands, and then tens of thousands upon tens of thousands. We're talking into the multiple billions. We start multiplying thousands by thousands, and then multiply that by tens of thousands of tens of thousands. We're talking a humongous number. And so you want to see this picture? You want to see the mind's eye of what Daniel saw? He saw a blazing throne. He saw one set upon it. He saw the thrones round about it set up. He saw the fire coming out. But as far as could be seen around him, innumerable hosts of spiritual beings ready to do his will. This is the majesty of God. Well, he's not powerless. And you can imagine if God sitting on his throne right now, how would that make him feel if we are uncertain about his sovereignty and his control? Oh, I don't know. It's kind of like a father, you know, if you're out there and your son isn't sure of something that you can do, and you know that the only reason you haven't done it is because you've been holding back. I could do it in a heartbeat. Our lack of faith in the Lord becomes silly in light of the description of who he really is. He is absolutely powerful. And it says, judgment was set and the books were opened. And so it's now he's ready. The time has come. He is going to wait no longer. Judgment is going to come upon the earth. And this is called the end of days. This is the end of time. And it's interesting when it talks about the books. What's it mean by the books were open? There's an aspect to which multiple references in Exodus, Isaiah, Daniel, even chapter 12, talks about a book there. It doesn't take too much just to look back at it. That he says that everyone that at the time of thy people shall be delivered, everyone that be found written in the book. So it seems like there's an aspect that God has a book, and everyone who is his are written down in that book. It comes to Revelation, and it's called the books, the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's also other books that also, by which we find in Revelation chapter 20, he opens the books and he judges people by their works. And so there's an aspect, there are books that are written, every action, every deed, every trespass that's taken place against the Lord. And so he's going to have a record of all rights and wrongs, and he's going to have a book that says, are you mine or are you not? And so it's a definitive aspect there. We're either in the book of life or we're not. And there's only one way to get written there, and that's because of the blood of Jesus. And we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And then we find out what takes place. So all this scene is taking place, and then as the camera zooms back into this great horn, or this little horn, that his voice of his great words, and because of his great words, because of his voice, because of his blasphemy which he speaks, and it says, I beheld till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and giving to the burning flame. According to Revelation chapter 19, the Antichrist is actually slain by the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ and by the word of his mouth, and he is cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And so this anti-God person is cast into an ever-eternal separation from him. And then we find it says, and concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I believe that's talking about the rest of the world, and there's a remnant of people that are going to still be a part of God's kingdom in the future. So the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And so there's 1,000 years in which there's given a time and a space, yet still further before that judgment. So this judgment is taking place at the end when Jesus Christ returns for his own. And so that's, I think, is the aspect that we can see in that. We'll have to come back and look at the Son of Man in chapter 13, 14. This is the title that is used the most frequently of Jesus Christ by himself. So why did he choose this title? Why did he reference this text? Because it was significant to him. And hopefully we'll see some amazing things about the Lord Jesus as we look at that next time. All right, we'll go ahead and be dismissed and for fellowship until we have our morning service. Thank you.